It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Thursday, December 20th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade. And coming up, a story about a reunion that features a member of Radiohead, a member of Red Hot Chili Peppers, and one of Beck's bandmates.
And I'll have a news story that involves Toto's Africa for a reason other than it being covered by yet another random artist.
Thank God. I don't know if I could handle another one.
Here are a few more of today's headlines. Travis Scott will perform at the Super Bowl 53 halftime show, reports Rolling Stone.
Interesting. So is he going to be jumping on stage with Maroon 5?
That seems to be the idea. I first saw this headline and I thought, oh, Travis Scott instead of Maroon 5? Okay, sounds good. No. Probably in addition to Maroon 5. It still hasn't been officially announced, but when it was widely reported that Maroon 5 would play the halftime show, especially given the lack of enthusiasm around that announcement, people assumed they'd be having some special guests, like people they've collaborated with on record. SZA, Cardi B, Kendrick Lamar, or Travis Scott. Seems like that'll be the case, at least regarding Travis Scott. Meanwhile, details are emerging about musical performances in Atlanta around the time of the big game on February 3rd. A Super Bowl music fest held over 3 days leading up to the game will feature performances by artists like Aerosmith, Bruno Mars, Post Malone, and here's that name again, Cardi B.
Interesting. Any of those artists could make a really good halftime show.
I don't know about Post Malone. I'm going to reserve judgment on that one. But the festival's first day on January 31st will celebrate the city's hip-hop scene with artists like Ludacris, Migos, Lil Yachty, Lil Baby, Metro Boomin, and Lil Jon. All the good
the
littles.
Yeah.
Georgia. We on the grind in Georgia. All the time it ain't nothing on my mind but Georgia.
Songwriter Jerry Chestnut has died due to respiratory problems at age 87. He was known for his skill at telling the stories of working people, imagining characters like truck drivers and factory workers in songs that became hits for dozens of artists like Johnny Cash, Del Reeves, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Loretta Lynn, and Willie Nelson.
One of my favorite anecdotes is for the song Trouble, T-R-O-U-B-L-E, and how he was able to rhyme every single word in that song with the spelling of trouble. And when people asked him, he was like, huh, I didn't even realize that. It just happened. It just rolled out of him.
What a gift. His heartbreak ballad, Good Year for the Roses, was a top five country hit for George Jones and was later recorded by Elvis Costello.
When Elvis Costello covered that song, Jerry Chestnut ended up making a lot of money. In fact, on the first check, it was like $60,000. He said, whoa, who is this kid? And somebody said, some punk rocker? And he said, well, maybe that's the sort of music I need to be making.
The only thing I have to say, it's been a good year for the roses.
It seems like a pretty sweet year for Thom Yorke. He put out a very creepy soundtrack for the updated version of Suspiria. He's been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with his band Radiohead. And he's been touring across the world playing any old song he wants off of any of his projects.
Jade, have you seen the new Suspiria?
I have not. I saw Thom Yorke when he was in town for the most recent tour, but I did not see the creepy film because I'm not in for gore, Jay. I just can't do it.
Thom Yorke's music is the least creepy part of that movie, which is saying something.
Yeah, so if you've heard that music, you kind of know what we're going for. But on this most recent tour, he's been kind of throwing out whatever. And apparently, at the Orpheum in Los Angeles, Yorke decided to bring out some guests for an impromptu Atoms for Peace reunion. So in front of this hypnotic screen of shifting light, Red Hot Chili Peppers bassist Flea and Beck drummer Joey Waronker joined their Atoms for Peace bandmates Yorke and Nigel Godrich for a spacey version of Default from their 2013 album Amok. The only member of the original band not on stage was Mauro Refosco.
This seems like the kind of thing that Thom Yorke superfans would hope for, but would never expect could actually happen. Like, what if there was an Atoms for Peace reunion on stage tonight?
It is kind of the biggest indie geek sort of geek out fest to see that, because like I said, I was at the show and it is really like a Radiohead rave. It's just a bunch of Thom Yorke fans kind of freaking out as he plays these very different versions of songs that you know and love that take you approximately a minute and a half to go, oh yes, that's the Radiohead song. But I think as soon as you see those guys step on stage, you know what you're in for. York has one more night in LA, and then he heads to Vegas to wrap up the current tour.
The Recording Academy has announced the winners of this year's Lifetime Achievement Awards. It's quite a list. Black Sabbath, Billy Eckstein, Donnie Hathaway, Julio Iglesias, Sam and Dave, Dionne Warwick, and George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic.
It's a funky, heavy year.
Not to be confused with the band Motley Crue. I'm using the words Motley Crue. They are a motley crew of artists. Well, they'll be honored with a special ceremony on May 11th and probably a mention on the televised Grammys. But here's the Grammys fact that really blew my mind today. If Cardi B or Her win Album of the Year at the Grammys on February 10th, it'll be the first time since 1983 that an album wins that honor without having been released on CD.
Just on CD or like an album in general?
Ben, yeah, released on compact discs. So the Cardi B and the Her albums came out on streaming, digital, but they didn't actually release CDs.
That is wild to me. It kind of shows the shift that's been happening slowly but surely, because there might have even been vinyl released of Cardi B or Her, but definitely not CD. What a change.
Yeah. So CDs this year accounted for just 18% of the recording industry compared to 90% in 2007. So do you want to take a wild stab at what was the last album to win Album of the Year without having been released on CD? The album that closes with the song Africa.
Oh, Jay, what a callback. Really, Toto.
Toto 4. Yep, that was the last time an album won without having been released on CD. And here is a bit of the opening track to the first album to have been released on CD before claiming Album of the Year from Michael Jackson's Thriller, Wanna Be Startin' Somethin'. Today's viral clip comes from Michael Corte, the YouTube star whose channel you might have visited for the Hamilton Beyonce mashup Ham for Bay, or maybe for the Rent Gaga mashup Gaga for Rent. He's got a new video that doesn't mash up the Lion King songs with anything but themselves, but it features a beautiful choir of female vocalists in a desert setting in a video called Queens Sing King.
And I have never gone to his website. I don't follow his YouTube page, but this is such a beautifully done video. It's so colorful and the voices are so, so beautiful. Can you feel the
love tonight? I don't know how even to put this into words, but I feel like The Lion King is celebrated in the context of African culture in a way that's beautiful, but also kind of doesn't make sense because Elton John is a songwriter from England, Tim Rice wrote the lyrics, but somehow it evokes the African spirit in a way that people seem to appreciate, especially when performed by vocalists like these. And that's today's music news. You can watch that video and read more about all these stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Luke Taylor. Let's give a special shout out to Jackie Fox, who not only is continuing to kick butt at Jeopardy, has now won 4 days in a row, but it's her birthday.
Wow. Congratulations on both counts. Happy birthday. And I guess I hope you win again.
Keep winning, Jackie Fox. Win all the things. We'll be back tomorrow talking about some of the most anticipated new releases of 2019. Find The Current on Twitter to let us know what releases you're most looking forward to next year.